What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura alongside Sir Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. And we're going to do a little live look at some of the recent mock drafts. Two of the big ones, obviously, Todd McShay, Daniel Jeremiah released new mock drafts this week. So, Gribbs, we're going to kind of dive in and look at what people are saying the Browns are going to do, but also look at some of the trends that are emerging here in these mock drafts as we get closer to the combine.
Right, and as people have been watching and following along with the mock drafts, not a lot of drama with the number one pick when it comes to experts, what they're pegging for the Browns, but a lot of variation on number 12. And the reason why there's variation, because there's a lot of different opinions on 2 through 11.
Absolutely, and we'll take a look at that. We'll start off with what they have the Browns doing at number 1 and number 12. This is the one, no debate. Myles Garrett seems to be the consensus best player in this draft. Everybody we've seen really has him going number 1. Now, Myles Garrett, however, won't be going to the draft. Do you care about that at all?
Doesn't bother me at all, because Joe Thomas, 2007, one of the best draft picks in franchise history, he was fishing. I'm fine with that. Just get him here the next day for the press conference, and I'm all good with that going forward.
I'm fine with it, too. And no, remember, just a couple years ago, Jameis Winston, who was the first overall pick, Marcus Mariota, second overall, neither of them went to the draft. It's a personal preference, wants to be with his family. Maybe his family, though, will be the Cleveland Browns, as you see here. Now, pick 12, this is where the variation sets in. The Browns, we know, need a quarterback. Todd McShay pegs the quarterback of the future, and a local kid in Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because that's a rare spot for him to fall, because it seems like he's a popular pick at number 2 for the 49ers. I think people see a connection between what Kyle Shanahan likes to do, what Mitch Trubisky can do. They have kind of a window in San Francisco to maybe grow, and I think they could use a young quarterback. They don't have to win now, per se. And he's someone that could use some more experience going forward because of only 1 year starting at North Carolina.
And really, as you head into this draft, as you see the Browns having a defensive player at number 1 despite their need at quarterback, it's that nobody really thinks there is a consensus like an Andrew Luck or a Jameis Winston in this draft. And how the next few weeks go with the combine coming up in Indy, and we'll be live at Indy for you covering that, is going to be very telling. And the big question mark with Trubisky is, what's he actually going to measure in terms of height? Mike Mayock coming out saying he thinks he might only be 6'1", and that could end up throwing a little wrench in his plans. But you see that there, and then for Daniel Jeremiah, you get Garrett, the best defensive player, and then you say, what does Hugh Jackson's offense really want? It's a big tight end. O.J. Howard was down there with the Browns at the Senior Bowl, was the best player at the Senior Bowl. And remember, the last year was in Cincy. Hugh Jackson, Tyler Eifert, 13 touchdowns that season. And Howard might be a nice fit on offense.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that would not have been put there had the Cleveland Browns not been at the Senior Bowl. I think that there's a big reaction to connecting Senior Bowl players with the coaching staffs. Clearly, the Browns and Hugh Jackson loved O.J. Howard. They threw him the ball a lot in one quarter. They played in the Senior Bowl, threw it to him a lot during the week. He's a super talented player. It's maybe up for debate if he's the best tight end in this class. There's a lot of buzz around Njuko from Miami.
Yep.
And it's a really deep tight end class. I mean, there's a lot of first, second-round picks, and that's different from what we've seen in years past. A tight end has not gone in the first round since 2014. That was Eric Ebron, who went number 10 to the Lions. And that's the top 10, you don't see many tight ends go, and that's where it starts to be maybe more of a possibility when you get down to around 12.
It'll be interesting to see, though. Howard could be a very nice weapon for the Browns and this offense. And another guy who was down there, Evan Ingram, you talk about the depth, that might be a reason not to take a tight end early. You can get a good one in the second round.
Right. Evan Ingram, Gerald Everett from South Alabama, he'll be the program's first ever draft pick. He's a fantastic player. And there's just a lot of depth there where if you want to hit that position but don't maybe want to waste a big pick on it, you're still going to get a good player in the second or
Jake
third
round. Jake, you might be able to get a bargain on, would have been an early pick, suffered an injury late in that season. We'll see where he goes. As we scroll forward here, we look at the first 8 picks for these two guys. We'll start with Todd McShay, and you see Myles Garrett, number 1, the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, number 2 overall. And a lot of people have the 49ers taking a quarterback. The one thing that seems kind of the same in a lot of these drafts that come out is the Bears not taking a quarterback. They go Jonathan Allen. Adams goes 4, the great safety out of LSU. And then Marshawn Lattimore has been linked here. I mean, not Marshawn Lattimore. Malik Hooker has been linked here to the Chargers in just about all of these mock drafts.
Yeah, I think the thing that throws off all these mock drafts initially is that number 5 pick in the Titans. And I think the reason is because they're not a prototypical number 5 picking team. They acquired that pick in a trade with the Rams. They're a pretty good team. So it's harder to peg obvious needs with the Titans. So you could look. It's almost like they can make a luxury pick at that number 5. It's why you see Corey Davis, which is as high as I've seen him pegged in any of these drafts. But you see some other interesting places because the Titans are a good team. They can use some work at other spots, but there's not a position where they have to have a guy and have to take the best player available.
I wouldn't mind getting a wide receiver for Mr. Marcus Mariota there if I was the Titans. Now, this is McShay's one quarterback here in the top 8. We've seen some others. Dane Brugler as a quarterback going 2nd and 3rd as he has Trubisky and Kizer going there. As we scroll forward now, we look at Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jeremiah says that, you know, He has his own rankings. Now, in his board, the top quarterback is DeShone Kizer, number 18. As we go through this draft, you'll see where Kizer goes or doesn't go. But no quarterbacks here in the top eight. We do see the Allen, Adams, Hooker. That stays the same, but no quarterbacks. Marshawn Lattimore seems to be a top eight consensus pick right now at this time. But, again, defense heavy. Defense, 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 defense. Seven of the top eight. That seems to be a theme, and he wrote a great article about the defensive talent at ClevelandBrowns.com.
Yeah, it's a loaded draft on defense. I think you could see as many as maybe, I would say the max would maybe be 20 defensive players in the first round. I think if you're going on guys who have the likeliest chance of first round grades, I think the majority is defense. And I think you look at all these players, and it looks like, I don't know what the vibe is, but it seems like these are sure thing kind of players. Everyone talks about Jonathan Allen, how he might be the surest thing in this draft, because he's shown it over 4 years at Alabama. Jamal Adams is a really popular pick to Jacksonville. You pair him with Jalen Ramsey, and all of a sudden that's a really good young secondary. And then Malik Hooker, I do think we're going to see some variation on Malik Hooker going forward, because I think when the combine comes, there's going to be some reaction to the injury, and that's where you wonder, could the Browns maybe get him at number 12 if he falls because of that injury? Mm-hmm. But you wonder, do you want him at number 12 because he might not be available till training camp?
All right. I say run, don't walk if Malik Hooker is there for the Browns at number 12. We've got some questions, and feel free to hit us up with your questions throughout this process. We'll start with this. Odds of us trading down in this draft?
It's impossible to tell, because I think the Browns are, as Sashi Brown's made it clear, open for business. They're willing to listen to any and all offers when it comes to pretty much anything. I think you want to see what the value is at that number one pick or number 12 or any of the picks. So there's been a willingness to trade here. The Browns have made a lot of good trades, but Myles Garrett's a really good player. And I think that he would be the one player I think teams would trade up for. I don't know if there's another play in the draft that teams would be as enticed to trade up for number one. I just don't know if the demand is there for number one this year.
I'm not necessarily into trading down. I think you got to get the best players. The ones that would be appealing, if the Titans wanted to move from 5 to 1, they have the two firsts. I don't see why they would want to. They don't need a quarterback. The one that could get interesting is if, let's say, that the 49ers have a quarterback that they want, and it's the same quarterback that the Bears want, or the same quarterback that the Jets want, or even that the Bills want. That's where you could see movement. And I would be okay from 1 to 3. I don't really want to go much below that. I think that you have to get one of the reasons you get to pick first, because you went 1 and 15, take advantage of that. This guy's the consensus best guy on the board. You see him there. All right, another question about quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo or Tyrod Taylor, Gribbs?
I like the upside of Jimmy Garoppolo, because I think we've seen what he can do in a Patriots offense, has learned a lot there. He's your more prototypical quarterback. I think Tyrod, I think, is an underrated guy. I just think the Garoppolo might have more of the skill sets that you're looking for in a Hugh Jackson offense, with a quick release, drop back kind of passer.
I agree. Get on board. I'm on the Jimmy Garoppolo train. If the Browns are interested and the price is right, again, to me, though, if he turns out to be a franchise quarterback, no price too high to get for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'll tell you why. Number one, they didn't change the game plan at all when he went and started those two games this year. If you go down to all the splits, where the ball went, how quickly it went there, air yards per attempt, accuracy, everything, et cetera, mirrors Tom Brady perfectly in those two games. Also, when Josh McDaniels went and interviewed with the 49ers, the one thing he told them was like, look, if I'm taking this job, we've got to get Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm very much on board with Garoppolo. I respect Tyrod Taylor. Went to the Pro Bowl, first Bills quarterback since 2002 to do that. He's a dual threat guy, but he holds the ball longer than anybody in the league, about 3.35 seconds to throw. We saw what happened when quarterbacks held the ball too long on our line last year. I think you need a guy who gets the ball out a little quicker.
I will say this, no matter what, I think both are going to be starters next year for a team in the league. Whether it be the Browns, someone else, I think those guys are going to be starters. But that leads me into this discussion point, though. What would it take for Myles Garrett to not be the number one pick for the Browns? Is that if they do not address the quarterback position at all going into the draft? Because I think that opens it up, because if you like a quarterback in this draft, I don't know if you can risk waiting till number 12 to get
him. I think what it would be is if they fall in love with the quarterback here in the next couple of months. And I think DeShone Kizer is a guy who's going to go out there and really impress people as they get prepared for the combine. But maybe they get in the meetings and they fall in love with him, Mitch Trubisky. I don't know if Deshaun Watson's the guy. It doesn't seem that he fits with what Hugh Jackson has previously stated. But again, the guy's a winner and Hugh Jackson wants to win games. Let's click through here now and get to the Browns' second pick. Picks 9 through 16 on Todd McShay. Solomon Thomas, the defensive lineman from Stanford, who's really rising the boards. Mike Williams, the talented wide receiver receiver. Taco Charlton has been a late rise of the defensive end for Michigan. Reuben Foster, I expect to be gone by this point. And you see here with the Browns, Mitch Trubisky. By the way, fantasy owners, that's one you want to see come true right there. Dalvin Cook to the Indianapolis Colts. But so Trubisky and McShay, you had Watson at 2. You have Trubisky here at 12. And that's it for the quarterbacks in the first round as he sees it. DeShone Kizer would be there at 33. Pat Mahomes, who's coming out, would be there at 33. But again, defensive heavy in this draft.
Yeah, it's weird because I think we look back at last year's draft and those quarterbacks went a little bit earlier than we might have expected at this time last year. But then you do have drafts like that 2013 draft or the year that Geno Smith was drafted. I believe this is actually the same year. But there was just a long wait for those quarterbacks. So it seems like it can go both ways. No matter what, it seems like these quarterbacks go in clusters. It wouldn't surprise me if we see 3 in the top 6.
Yep.
It wouldn't surprise me if we only see 1 in the first round.
Yeah, it's very going to be interesting as we scroll through a guy who doesn't think many quarterbacks are going to go. Now, Daniel Jeremiah, again, as I said, he has DeShone Kizer 18th on his big board. That's the number one quarterback. I actually tweeted him after he released this mock draft because, as you see, here's the first quarterback coming off the board. It's DeShone Watson at number 10. He doesn't have another quarterback going until the Giants take Trubisky, and that's it for the first round. I said, well, you had Kizer here. I said, that's what my eyes tell me. What my ears tell me right now is that it's going to unfold like this. And I think Watson's a guy who could end up going 10th. He could end up going 2nd. Or he could end up going in the middle of the 2nd round. I don't know where he's going to go. But again, this gets us back to O.J. Howard here. And one of our questions is he a reach at number 12? I say no. You're a little more skeptical on O.J. Howard.
I'm a little skeptical just because of the depth of the tight end class. I'm excluding needs and everything like that because I think some people think that running back and tight end is a position that the Browns are okay at. I think with the way the Browns are positioned right now at number 12, you have to take the best player available no matter the position. And I think Howard could fit into that category. My skepticism is just because of what I said earlier. The depth of the tight end class is as good as it's been in years, and I think you can get a really good tight end at 33 or with the Titans pick in the middle of the 2nd round and still be pretty happy and have a guy you could put in right away next to Gary Barnidge.
The reason I would feel okay with this if they went this route with O.J. Howard is because they coached him down there, and that would say to me they love this guy, and O.J. Howard can be a big part of what Hugh Jackson wants to do offensively. Now, we have seen some mocks, not as many recently, that had either a Dalvin Cook or a Leonard Fournette to the Browns at 12. One of our questions was, do the Browns need to draft a running back? I don't think so. I think you're in a good spot with Crow and Duke. What do you think?
I don't think you need to, but if either of those players is far and away on your board the best player available, I think you have to stick to it. I think you have to stay true to what you believe is the best way to build a team. And I think Fournette and Cook paired together might be the best running back combo we've seen in recent years in this draft. We talk about Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys, how great he was last year, and a lot of people think it was because of the product around him. I think it was half and half. I think he's a great running back that made that offense better, and he had an offensive line that really helped him. So I think tiebreakers, if you have a Dalvin Cook and another defensive player ranked about the same, you're probably going with the defensive player. But if they stand out, I think you got to stick true to your
board. Take the best player available, get some studs in here. I do think that's one area where the Browns probably think they're okay, and it was really the only position last year they did not address going into the season. Now, keep those questions coming for us. We're going to interact with you here as we finish this out here on Facebook Live and Periscope. And that gets to another point as you go through. One thing we didn't see in that first round, offensive linemen in the top 16. Yeah. You usually see a ton of them. Here's the first one off the board from Wisconsin at pick 20, the Denver Broncos. It doesn't seem to be a draft where you take an offensive lineman early. Could the Browns be players, though, at the offensive line position later in the draft?
Yeah, I think there's some good. I think the strength in this offensive line class is really the interior lineman. I think you talk about guys like Forrest Lamp, Dan Feeney from Indiana. Do the Browns go and address the center position? I think there's a guy at LSU, Ethan Prosek. I think another player, a Clevelander, Ty Orlowski from West Virginia, he could probably be a second or third round kind of guy. But the standout tackles just aren't there, I think, largely because with Ramczyk, played just 1 year at Wisconsin, So there's a lot of questions about him. And Cam Robinson at Alabama, he was a guy that maybe people thought was a top 5 pick earlier. It just seems like there's a little bit more skepticism about where he's going to go early in the draft.
As you see, they think it's a very deep draft at the edge rusher position. Barnett had a very good year. Tech McKinley had a good year. They're available in the second half of the first round. O.J. Howard and McShay goes 19th. He goes 12th to the Browns with Daniel Jeremiah. Jalapeno Peppers, 17th here. You see him much later in some of the other drafts, some not in the first round at all. It's going to take one team to fall in love with that athleticism, but you see that. And here's the tight end out of Miami, again, speaking to how deep this tight end class is at the top and then also as you go throughout. Let's take a look now at Daniel Jeremiah, 17 through 24. He talked about the guards being strong. Forrest Lamp there. John Ross, the speedster out of Washington. Here you go, Ramczyk right here, the tackle. Again, not an offensive line draft early, but here's Mitch Trubisky, as we talked about. A lot of variation on these quarterbacks. Only two in the first round for Jeremiah, only one in the top 20. Trubisky, the only other quarterback that goes first round there at 23.
Wouldn't that be a surprising pick, though? I mean, Eli's got some gas in the tank still, and that's why you wonder, do you really think that they would use a first-round pick when the Giants, you know, they might be a player or two away from the Super Bowl? I mean, they have a really good defense. Maybe that's a team I look at. If they could maybe trade up and get a running back, Fournette
sure.
or Cook, I mean, that's an offense that could really be humming with a running back. I think the Giants are too win now to draft a guy that's going to be your backup quarterback.
I could see maybe the Saints or the Cardinals where the clock is ticking a little bit more to get that guy, but that would be an interesting pick. And then as we finish out the first round here, keep an eye on this area because I do think if the Browns are going to move, I wouldn't be surprised to see if, let's say, a quarterback that they want to draft makes it this far, Kaiser, Mahomes, you jump back in here late in the first round, kind of like Minnesota did for Teddy Bridgewater, because picking someone at 32nd versus 33rd means you get that fifth-year option, which is another cheap year if a guy turns out to be your quarterback of the future. So I think this is an area where you could see some real movement here in this draft.
Yeah, a couple names here stick out to me. Alvin Kamara is maybe an under-the-radar.
He's starting to rise.
Even though he played at Tennessee, he's the prototypical kind of scat-back kind of guy. He can catch passes. He can run. I've seen some people compare him to Duke Johnson with his skill set. He's someone that probably could slip into the first round. Hassan Reddick was probably the star of the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
I think he improved his stock as much as any player there. Reminded me a little bit of the buzz that surrounded Aaron Donald a few years ago at the Senior Bowl. He just was so impressive, a super versatile guy, can be an inside linebacker in both a 4-3 and a 3-4.
And then as we look at Daniel Jeremiah finishing out the first round here, Marlon Humphrey, the good corner out of Alabama. Buda Baker, a guy that many people have tabbed the Browns at pick 33, a very good safety, kind of in the mold of Honey Badger. That's a name certainly that you want to keep an eye on. We talked about Reddick, and then Jalapeno Peppers, the versatility there to the New England Patriots at 32. All right, we got some good questions for you here. Why don't you back it up and go to the slides that have our 1 and 12, since we got that for the Browns fans out there so they can see what's out there. And by the way, I had Dane Brugler on Browns Daily today. He's got for the Browns at 1, Miles Garrett at 12, T's Tabor, the cornerback out of the University of Florida. So here's some questions we got. Please explain a tight end at 12 with Barnage and a developmental DeValve from Van.
It sticks with best player available. And I think that the game has changed so much with tight ends. You can use multiple tight ends. Drafting an O.J. Howard is no indictment on Gary Barnage. You can use them both together. Look at what the Patriots did with multiple tight ends when they were healthy. Also, Gary Barnage, I mean, he's one of this team's oldest players, veterans.
Yeah.
You got to build toward the future while also getting this team good in the present.
And when you look at it, O.J. Howard has everything in terms of size, speed. He can run block for you. He could be an every down tight end for you. Where Seth DeValve is a guy's converted receiver, a little bit on the smaller side, kind of built like a Delanie Walker, Jordan Reed, best as a flexed out tight end. So if you wanted to go to some of those two tight end sets, you can still use DeValve. I think if you looked at O.J. Howard coming in here, you'd say Gary Barnage, as you mentioned, big play gear, a little long in the tooth, especially for this team, and that maybe it's some succession planning there. I love big play gear. That's one of my favorite guys. But if you can get a player of this caliber in an offense that is going to feature the tight end like we know Hugh Jackson likes to, I think it does make a lot of sense. I don't think it's necessarily a reach. We got a question here. Why Garrett over Jonathan Allen?
I think the reason is the upside. And I think that we see what the defensive player of the year this year, Khalil Mack, what he can do for a defense, the ability to be a constant disruption. I think that, and now the fact that the Browns are not necessarily locked into a 3-4, I think that maybe solidified a lot of people who are on the fence, because I think that Allen was probably a better fit if you were strictly a 3-4
yep.
team. But Garrett, I think it's just the upside and potential. People are saying that this is the highest graded player they've gotten in a few years. We saw a comparison could be another, like a Jadeveon Clowney. Wasn't great early in his career, but was one of the best defensive players in the league this past year. It's just a pass rusher can truly transform your defense, and he did that. And maybe his numbers were not great in the SEC competition this year, but that's because he was getting double and triple teamed throughout the year.
His numbers were better than Bosa's in his final year, better than Clowney's in his final year. This is a guy, in my opinion, when you look at Miles Garrett, it's a 4-3. He gets to put his hand on the ground, play defensive end. Disrupting the quarterback is the most important thing in the National Football League. If you imagine now a defense that's got Garrett on one side, Ogbo returning to his natural position, which really is a 4-3 defensive end, I think all of a sudden the Browns could have a great pass rush for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and I think that's the way you go. The most impact you can get is from a D-end, Khalil Mack, Defensive Player of the Year, the reason why he can impact the game in so many ways. And you talked about Clowney's resurgence this year. They are game changers. That's why I think you go Garrett at number 1. Jonathan asked, if Watson is there, you take him over Trubisky, right? I don't know, Jonathan. I'm not sure about
that's,
that.
That's the debate. I mean, that's the decision you're going to, if you don't address the quarterback in free agency or trade, that's the decision you got to make. I think, or you're deciding between him and Kizer as well, or maybe a Pat Mahomes. I think that's why Hugh Jackson and everyone here get paid the big bucks to make those decisions. I understand the upside with Watson. I think he's got the better athleticism, though Trubisky can run, and the experience and the proven capability of winning. The doubts with Trubisky is just going to be 1 year as a starter. And I think that's going to be the biggest hang-up with him. And I think the doubts with Watson is going to be mechanics, slow release, how he's going to transform to the next level.
And how does he see the field? A lot of things that work in college don't necessarily work in the NFL, which is why you're hearing people say some people think Watson's a low first-round guy. Some people think he's a mid-round guy. He's a polarizing prospect. College success doesn't always translate to the NFL. And unfortunately, Browns fans, you know that. Remember how good Colt McCoy was in college. It's just not the same in the NFL, and what they're looking for is different. I think when you look at Watson, you have more of a dual threat quarterback. You have a guy who's a proven winner in college, so he has that leadership. Not the biggest guy, and you wonder, how does he see the field? Can he win from the pocket consistently? With Trubisky, a little bit more size, better athlete than people perhaps realize, very accurate passer, but at the same time, he's got some lower body mechanics issues that you wonder, can they be fixed, or is it going to plague him like it's plagued Blake Bortles? And then with Deshaun Kizer, his good tape gives you everything you ever want. Pocket passer, sees the field, delivers the football, can make every throw in the book. Inconsistency, though, was the big problem, and can he be coached up well enough to give you that? And then there's the wild card, Pat Mahomes, who could end up being the next Brett Favre, but could also flame out of the league and never really transition to the NFL. So it's going to be very interesting. I think we'll find out if they draft a quarterback what they really are looking for, because the skill sets of these guys are all so different. Mario asks, what about getting a defensive back in this draft? And I think probably likely.
I think I would make a very good chance one of those top three picks that you have, 1, 12, 33, either a cornerback or a safety. Mostly, one, because you need a safety. I think that this team's light on safeties. Two, there's just a lot of good defensive backs in this draft, and it's one of the reasons why this is such a defensive-heavy draft, because of the number of defensive backs in it. I mean, a guy like Marlon Humphrey, he's been a great defensive back at Alabama. He's only in the first round in about half of these mock drafts, so he could be available at number 33. And then the safety prospects. I think there is a chance that three safeties could be drafted before the Browns even select at number 12, because I think Peppers falls in that category of being a super polarizing player, where one team might fall in love with him and think, I could put this guy everywhere on my defense.
Absolutely, and I think they're going to address this position. And remember, the draft is going to come after free agency, and I do think that the Browns have a good chance of adding a safety in free agency. And remember, one name that probably, it's just a natural link, T.J. McDonald played for Greg Williams with the Rams, could be somebody who comes in. But I think we'll have a clearer picture of what the actual needs are. I think right now safety is a big one after we get through free agency and see if the Browns make any additions right there. Mario asked that. Ted asks, if Foster is available at 12, would you take him to bolster the linebacking core? And this is, I think, an interesting one, because he could very well be the best player on the board at number 12, but you just paid Jamie Collins a lot of money. You're going to likely pay Christian Kirksey and extend him. And knowing that this team, you play nickel, you know, the vast majority of the time, there's only two linebackers on the field, you're already going to have a significant investment in two. I don't know if Reuben Foster fits in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe another one where it's like the running back question. And I think it might be even a tougher decision because of the way he fits. I mean, he's about even though he played a 3-4 at Alabama, they played mostly nickel. And he was on the field doing a lot of that. He, to me, is like your prototypical 4-3 middle linebacker.
Totally.
But he was outstanding in the national championship. He's been great his entire career there. I think it's going to be a problem that we're talking about that is not going to be faced with the Browns, because I think he's going to be gone by 12.
I think he goes as well. I just think that would be a tough one, given the financial investment, to take another guy there, because that means at some point either Collins or Kirksey or Foster's got to go off the field a lot of the time, and I think Kirksey's earned the right to be on the field, and obviously he paid Collins, and hopefully he's going to be one of the best players on your defense. What about Cody Kessler? We keep talking about quarterbacks. Somebody said, well, what about Cody Kessler? Good rookie year. I don't think Cody Kessler showed you anything that says, okay, we don't need to do anything at the quarterback position. But I thought surprising positives from Cody, and if he can continue to develop, he's got an opportunity to become a starter.
Yeah, I think he's going to be given the chance. And I think if you bring up an example of the past of maybe an unexpected winner of a quarterback competition, you look at what the Seahawks happened with them 4 years ago. Even though he's a rookie, Russell Wilson came in as a third-round pick, was not expected to be the starter on the team. No one really gave him a chance. They just traded for Matt Flynn. He was better than Matt Flynn. He got the starting job. So I think basically for Kessler, and he's known this since the day he got here, he's just got to prove to be the best option, and that's what's going to get him on the field. When you're a quarterback drafted after the first round, nothing for you is guaranteed. I think he understands that, and you know he came in here when Robert Griffin III had just been signed, so he knew the deal going in. He was just eventually going to have to be better, and that's what he's going to have to prove, no matter who's in here at quarterback.
All right, and then you were down there at the Senior Bowl. You saw both of these guys up close. Dobbs or Webb in the later rounds?
I like Webb. I think he showed his upside, what he has. He has a big arm. I think he's really focused on proving the skeptics wrong about the kind of offense he ran, both at Texas Tech and Cal. He impressed. I think he was by far the best quarterback throughout that week and showed up in the game. I think he had a good week. I think Dobbs is a good athlete, maybe a slower release, and I just too many inconsistencies. Webb has some upside, but both are probably still day three guys.
Webb, I know, impressed Pat Kerwin, who thought he may leap himself all the way into the second round in the draft because we know quarterbacks are just so valuable here in the NFL. When you took it free agency, Gribbs, how do you think the Browns are going to approach free agency this year?
I think I'll follow the company line and say appropriately aggressive. I think that there's a lot been made about the salary cap number. It's big. You have a lot of money to spend, but you can't be careless with it. You've got to make smart investments, and I think there's a lot of players out there. I wouldn't expect, there's not going to be a lot of these big name free agents. They're not going to be free agents by the time March 9th rolls around. They're going to re-sign or be franchised. So I think you're just looking to get maybe 2, 3, 4 solid starters on this team. That's what you're looking for in free agency. And I would look at that age group of the second contract guys, not the third contract, fourth contract kind of players. You want to get those players in their fourth, fifth year where there's still lots of room to grow.
Yeah, I think you look for guys 26, 27 who maybe didn't get an opportunity somewhere else or are a good fit, but not necessarily the day one $15 million a year guys, but I think the Browns will play and bring in some starters. Joe Thomas actually said that on CBD. Said, I think we're going to bring in 3 or 4 starters in free agency, and hopefully that will be the case. I want to thank you guys all for joining us. Hopefully we'll do this again throughout this offseason as the Browns have all the draft picks. They have all the money. A very exciting offseason opportunity to get significantly better. So thanks for joining us on Facebook Live and Periscope.